We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick or the living at the day and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come. Now that is the phrase that I want you to see. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now I want to preach this morning by the help of the Lord. And I want you to look at that verse of scripture there in verse 3. For the time will come. Now look at that. For the time will come. Now my question this morning would be this right here. And this would be my text. Is now that time? The time will come. And I want to ask the question is now that time? And we're going to look at the state of the local church as we approach the last days. And I don't think any of us here this morning would disagree that we probably are in the last days. That we are in the last days before the coming of the Lord. Now in verse 1 here, the pastor is given a charge. He is told that he'll have to give an account before God and the Lord Jesus Christ at his appearing and kingdom. And verse 2 goes on to give the pastor a short military type of command. He said, preach the word. And the ideal is to do it continually and to preach it as it is to men as they are. Now that's what he's saying here. Preach the word of God as it is to men as they are. Now the Greek word here for word is logos. It has the ideal of all the word of God and its whole counsel. And so the Lord is saying to the preacher, don't hold back any part of the whole counsel of God. And he says also here in Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul is meeting with the pastors of the various local churches there at Ephesus. And he speaks to them that knowing, and they also knowing in their heart, that this is probably going to be the last time that they're going to see the Apostle Paul face to face this side of heaven. And so he says to them there in Acts chapter 20 and verse 27 through 28, he says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of the living God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Now this tells us how important it is for the preacher to preach the word of God. Now he is to feed the flock of God. And how do you feed the flock of God? You feed the flock of God through the word of God. And that is the green pastures in which he is to lead them. The Psalms 23 said leading into green pastures and feed them. And you feed them with the word of God. And preaching the word means to cry aloud and let all hear. And so I want you to see there it says in season and out of season. What in the world does it mean here in season and out of season? Because we know that God knows no seasons, that God is an everlasting season. So the ideal here is that the preacher is to preach whether or not the conditions are favorable. Don't just preach the Word of God when conditions are favorably, but preach the Word of God even when the conditions are unfavorable. And most of the time in the world in which that we live today, the conditions are unfavorable. So he says here that the local church is to be a church that preaches the whole counsel of God. And so the preacher is then told how to preach. He is told, first of all, if you'll look, to reprove. John chapter 16 tells us that when the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost works through a person or through a preacher, when the Holy Ghost is working through a preacher, he says that his preaching deals with sin, it deals with righteousness, and it deals with the judgment to come. And so here, as he says here, reproving. When a pastor stands and uses the Word of God to reprove, what does that do? How does that affect people? What kind of effect does it have on people? The Bible says that it leads to a person confessing their sins. And not only does it lead to a person for confessing their sin, if they don't do that, at least they acknowledge their sins. And they realize and they're convicted of their sins. And so this means that he cannot be indifferent. And so after that he is to reprove, it also says he is to rebuke, which has the ideal here of a severe, and not only severe, but a sharp coming penalty. Reprove, rebuke. Now I want you to see here what this word means. It means to make a charge against. In other words, the preacher is to do so in the face of opposition, because the need is to help people see the evil and the danger of their way. That's why you preach the Word of God.
That's right.
If people are involved in things, if involved in sin, that they might see the danger of the way they're living. That they might, in other words, that they might be able to repent of that and get those things fixed up in their life. And so that's why that the Apostle Paul says to reprove and rebuke. And even if they don't see, the preacher is to keep preaching to them. The Lord is saying, let them know, because the goal is to bring people to repentance. That's what the goal, every time that I get up here, every time any preacher stands behind the pulpit, is his goal is, if anybody's sitting under the sound of their voice, is involved in some kind of a sin, that they will be convicted of that sin under the preaching of the Holy, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, that they'd be convicted of that sin and they would repent of that sin.
Yes.
And turn from it. Now let them know that this is the goal. The preacher is not only to do that, but he's to exhort. He is to preach of the righteousness and witnessing, and strongly to urge people to do the right thing. Exhort. It's my job to encourage you to do the right thing, and encourage people to be faithful to the house of God. I'm here to, and not only that, but preacher, to encourage people to be separated from the world. I'm not only to that, but I'm encouraging you to have biblical standards in your life and in your family. I'm encouraging you, as Brother Charles had already said, I'm encouraging you to love the brethren. I'm to urge you to give of your sayings to the Lord. I urge you to tell the truth. I'm to urge you to take to them godly men and women and families, and to go in the way that God would have them to go. That's why I encourage, exhort. Encourage you to do the right thing. That people are sitting under the sound of a voice, encourage them to do the right thing. And Paul says not only then, but he says the preacher is to do all of this with all longsuffering. He's to continue patiently, even though he may be hated for the preaching, because he takes a stand. He is not to give in to the whims and the spirit of this age. Rather, he is to stick with the Spirit of God. Now listen to me. Finally, the preacher is to preach doctrine. People say it's not right to preach doctrine. Oh, yes, it is. It's wrong not to preach doctrine.
Right.
We need to preach the doctrine of justification and all of these doctrines of the Word of God.
Amen.
How to preach doctrine. This is preaching directly from the Word of God.
Yes.
which addresses the issues of sin. It addresses the issue of judgment and righteousness. And you say, why preach it that way if it causes negative actions? Why not just be positive all the time? We know that we're living in a day where people are saying that we need more positive preaching. That's what people are looking for. You can see that by watching televisions. The largest congregation in the United States of America is under the preaching of a preacher that only preaches positive preaching. Right. Never rebukes. Never reproves. But listen to what I'm saying. I want to say public appearance. Opinion. Public opinion concerns somebody that preaches the whole council. Will list a preacher like that as hateful. Not only that, but they'll list them as somebody to be avoided. And somebody who is ignorant. They say a preacher that preaches against sin and names sin and these things, he's an ignorant person. He's not wise. So the answer is simple. If you're to please God, That's the reason that you preach the whole counsel of God. Yes. You're not trying to preach to satisfy some group of people or some section of people. You preach the word of God even though it offends or whatever it may do to people. You preach it because it's the word of God. Amen. You preach it because, and not only that, but you preach it because God calls preachers to preach that way. And every preacher should do what God tells him to do. Now, ultimately, we're going to appear before God. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Believe every one of us sitting in here this morning that one day you're going to appear before God?
Yes.
And we're going to give an account, and ultimately, that's the truth. And so that is where the judgment is going to take place. And if I'm waiting the time to appear before Him, and I am, you are too. Every one of us in here this morning, you're waiting the time that you're going one day appear before God. And if I realize that short time that I have here left upon this earth means nothing in comparison to eternity, then I'd better be sure that I'm pleasing God. Is that not right?
That's right.
If I realize that just a little short time, little time span, a little window of time that I have left here upon this earth, in comparison to eternity, then I better make sure that I'm pleasing God rather than pleasing men. And so that's why that is so important. We're going to be called in account. And I want you to know that God has a high standard for everyone sitting here today. God has a high standard for us. There's no greater condemnation against us than not to preach the truth. There's no greater condemnation than not to support the truth and back the truth. Stand for the truth. Preaching that God's way is an imperative. So it also means that He wants His people to go to church that preaches the word and doesn't water it down.
Right.
That's what God's saying. Not only is He saying for preachers to preach the word, but He's saying to laymen, you need to go to a church that preaches the word. And you need to go to a church that don't water it down and don't cater to some group, but that preaches the whole counsel.
That's
of God.
Amen.
That's what you need to do. And so here, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Means that he's addressing the local church and he's talking about the time before the rapture takes place. The time will come. My question is, and my text is now that time. Are we living in that time that he's talking about here? Now look at the local church. It says there's coming a time before the rapture that that people certainly won't want to hear sound doctrine. Or they certainly not want to hear Bible preaching. Isaiah 39 through 12 describes what they want to hear. It happened in Israel just before they fell. And so it's a warning to us before our fall. Now look at Isaiah 30, if you would, 9 through 12. That this is a rebellious people. Lying children. Children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. speaking to us smooth things, prophesies deceit, prophecy deceit, gets you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel is ceased from before us. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perversionness, and stay thereon. The Lord says here that the path is straight and narrow. And however the people are saying, stop preaching to us holy standards of God's word. Stop telling us of his expectations for us. And he says those who do not want to preach, those who don't want preachers to name sin, and do not want preachers to preach righteousness, and do not want preachers to preach the judgment to come, those are the ones who despise the word. And they hate preachers that name their sins. They don't want you to name sins anymore. Don't call sin what it is anymore. We're looking for people that the time will come. Is now that time? Is this the time he's talking about? Or is it going to be another 100 years, another 500 years? If you become, as a preacher, if you become fervent in preaching the truth, and preach the truth in love, folks will fault your fervency, and they'll call it getting mad. Oh, that preacher's mad. Let me say this morning. I am mad at sin and what sin does to people. Aren't you? I am angry at sin. I love the sinner, but I am angry at sin and what sin does to people. But listen, Jude says that the preacher should earnestly contend for the faith which is once delivered unto the saints. Now, contend does not mean to be contentious. But contend there simply means that you are not to change it. When you're contending for the faith, you're not changing the word. You're not changing what it says. But as a lot of our new versions of Bibles are doing, changing the meaning. And God said not to do that. That's why I still say and I still stand and I always will say this, that there's only one Bible as far as I'm concerned, and that's the King James 1611 version of the Word of God. Don't change it. Contend for the faith. Don't change anything. And listen, I want to say when you contend for the faith, there'll be those who'll say you're unkind. And they'll say that you're full of all kinds of phobia, as we hear today. Men will use very strong language when they talk about politics. Men will use very strong language when they talk about sports and other kinds of issues. But yet no one questions about the loss of their temper. They think that we should be calm when the Bible is attacked. They think we as Christians ought to just calm down and don't get excited, don't get upset when they're attacking the Word of God. When they tear down biblical morals, we should say nothing. Or say anything when they say all of this immorality is okay. That it's all right. We should use fervent reproof and rebuke with intense passion about anything. It's defense of the Word of God.
Yes.
And defend against the teachings and against the corrupting of God's Word. And against sin. The time will come when they will not endure. They will not hear with and continue to hold to sound doctrine as it is from the Word of God. It seems that today all across America, the preachers are more concerned about offending somebody, the big givers, offending the workers in the church, offending this group of people. They're more concerned about that than they are about preaching about the judgment of the Almighty. They're more concerned about offending people than they are about offending God. How thoughtless they are. People are offended that the preacher preaches what he's supposed to preach. And do not realize when you do that, When you as an individual or as a parent, when you get mad at and you are against the preacher that stands up and names sin and calls sin sin and preaches the whole counsel of God, when you are against him and you side what you know what you're doing, you're siding with the forces that are leading your children and your grandchildren to hell. You stand against the preacher that preaches against sin. Is this the time? Are we living in the time today? Today we seem troubled by the thought that same-sex advocates and abortion associates will leave our church if we take a stand. Oh, preacher, don't get up there and say that. There's some people in the church that supports abortion. Don't get up there and preach on that. There's some people, I'm not saying anybody's ever said that to me, but that's what's been said across this country.
Yes.
Don't get up there. We have people that's in the church that supports same sex. Listen, same sex relationships. Oh, don't you say anything. Often you're going to run them off. You take this stand, these people will leave the faith. Pardon me? Leave the faith? If you believe these things, it's okay. If you believe abortion and same sex and all this kind of stuff is okay, I believe you've already left the faith.
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
I don't think I'm going to drive you away from the faith. I believe you already left it.
Yes.
And so, the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, then I want you to see the truth may offend some people, but I've made up my mind, and I'm at the last little chapter of my ministry. Last few, I don't know. I was going to say, I don't know. I'm just going to leave that open right there. But I believe for the short time that I have left, I'm just going to stay with God.
Yes.
And I'm just going to preach the word.
Yes.
Not worry about the offensiveness of hurting someone as long as I'm preaching the whole counsel of God, because I know I'm pleasing to God. And I know that I'm helping you. I know that I'm helping your children and your grandchildren. And I'm trying my very best to prevent them from ending up in that awful place called hell. Listen, the devil is a deceiver. The devil is a liar. The devil will paint you a pretty picture of what sin looks like. And all of that kind of stuff. But you listen to what I'm saying. And I want you to see. And there, I see people who were one time parents who were one time very strong, and they had godly standards. Over the 36 years that I've been pastor, I've had parents that had some strong standards, had some strong convictions. And over the years, I've seen those standards change. As they changed, when did they change? They changed when their children became teenagers. It's awful easy for a person that don't have no teenagers to sit back and say, I wouldn't do this, I wouldn't allow mine to do that, I wouldn't allow mine to do this, I wouldn't allow mine to go there and do all these kind of things. Easy to make those brags. And I saw those people that used to have strong standards and strong convictions. And now they allow their children to listen to worldly music. Now they allow their children to dress immodest. Now they allow their children to watch filth, not only in the home on the cable, but they'll even pull good money out of their billfold and give it to their children to go down here to the theater and watch filth. What's happened? What's happened to those people? They're the same parents that are now saying that pastors are legalist and unloving. These are the people about whom verse 3 is speaking when it says they will not endure sound doctrine. Instead, they begin to seek ear ticklers. As a pastor, I have a divine warning from God not to return to tickling people's ears in order to have their approval. Now, let me say to you that sometimes is very tempting to all of us.
Yes, it is.
If you've never been a pastor and you know somebody sitting in the church that is a big supporter of the church, and you know they're guilty of some kind of a sin, it takes a lot of the Holy Ghost and a lot of the anointing of God to be up and be able to stand up and preach against it. You say, it ought not to be. I know it ought not to be. But I'm saying we preachers are just like you. We got old flesh. And I want you to say that God says, don't you worry about that. Don't you worry about offending those. And don't you worry about tickling their ears. Don't you ever give in to that. Because, listen, he says, don't do that. Don't try to win the approval of people. If preaching the word of God don't win their approval, don't worry about it. And let me ask you a question. I believe that there's a coming judgment. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you believe that every one of us is going to stand in judgment?
Yes.
And this means, this right here, you should, because one day you're going to give an account as to which side of the divide that you stand on these things. You're going to give an account of why when the line was drawn here, that God's word says abortion is sin, and God's and the liberals and all this bunch is saying it's okay, it's a lifestyle, mother has the choice. When you stand before God, you're going to give an account of which side of this line that you took.
Right.
Whenever that the word of God says that homosexuality is a sin, it's wrong, it's an abominable, and then the liberal says there's nothing wrong with it. It's just a lifestyle, and it's okay. People has the right to choose whatever they want, ever which partner they want to join up with. Then you're going to stand before God, and you're going to give an account of which side of that line you took on.
That's right.
Which side that you got on.
That's
it's going to happen. Now, don't listen. Don't say that preacher's trying to scare me. I'm trying to tell you the truth.
Yes. Amen.
And so, listen. We'll give an account. They heap to themselves teachers, having ears and ears. This means that they want to listen to preachers or teachers who simply makes them feel good about living a life that goes against the Word of God and seeks you to corrupt the Word of God. That's simply what that means. They'll seek to themselves teachers, having ears and ears, tickling teachers, twist God's Word, in order to justify what they do. Too often today, the modern pulpit is just a sounding board for people so they'll hear what they want to hear. And listen, every preacher that does not come under the mighty hand of God's raft.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at uniontemplefwb.org.